Welcome into another edition of The Session with Londa and David. My name is David Austin, and sitting across from me, as always, the prettiest lady I know, Londa Sherwood Austin, and it is wonderful to sit here and look at you today.
Well, thank you.
I kind of like it because we've got an open window behind us because one of the lights in our office is out, and so we're hitting monitors and we're using outside lighting, and you look like an angel. You look beautiful in this light.
Well, that's good.
Bathed in sunshine. Aww. And I enjoy that.
Perfect.
Anyway, The Session is a program that deals with customer service experiences, good and bad. And we have a couple things to talk about today.
Let's get into it.
And as we come to you, we have just lived through our first as a couple hurricane Florida. Uh-huh. And that was definitely exciting. Our first hurricane party.
Well, I was very scared because I don't know anything about this.
Right.
Right. This is not my my jam.
It's not your cup of tea.
I don't know anything about it.
Right.
So I was very nervous.
Little freaked out, maybe?
A little freaked, for sure. Freaked out.
Okay.
There's a hurricane. It's going to go right over your city. That's a little freaky.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know anything.
And it really was not that super bad.
No, it was fine.
It came by. I actually stayed up because they said it would come by about 1:30 in the morning. So yeah. After I tucked you in bed last night, I went out on the lanai and sat there by the pool and listened to the rain, you know, and it was supposed to be high winds and heavy rain. Mm-hmm. Could cause some flooding. Could cause stuff to break, so
right.
We pushed our lanai curtains out of the way. It was not even as heavy a wind event as Thursday in the Tri-Cities.
Right.
You know, yeah. Our house in West Richland, regularly 40-mile-an-hour winds.
Yeah,
and,
for sure.
And there were some winds that might have gotten 36, 37 miles an hour last night at our house.
I was following all the, you know...
No big deal.
Hurricane alert.
Right.
Things, and...
There you go. And we're far enough inland in Lakeland, Florida, to not have to worry about storm surge. But apparently Tampa, which was thinking they were going to get 3 to 4 feet of water over the seawall there, none of that happened.
Yeah.
So
it was great. And the weird thing about hurricanes is they have a predicted path, but they can shift. And so...
And it slowed down before it hit land north of Tampa. Good bit north of Tampa. So we survived a hurricane, and that was kind of fun. Okay, yeah. Now that we've talked about that, I would like to talk about our lunch experience.
Oh, I'm ready to talk about this.
Today at Walk-Ons, and as you know, I'm a fan of Walk-Ons because when they first started in Baton Rouge, I was around for that. So when they opened a new store a couple weeks ago here in Lakeland, Florida, I was super excited.
You were. You watched it being built.
Yep.
And you were very excited. Every day.
That's exactly right.
I got fresh commentary on Walk-Ons.
Now, to be fair to Walk-Ons, before we talk about our experience
Before we
today,
trash them.
I want to say that our regular diets are different than we normally...
That doesn't matter.
Well, I guess you're right, but... Mm-mm. I didn't order something
irrelevant
off the menu that I typically would order. Although mine turned out okay. Yours, not so good. Tell me about that.
Well, I first want to say, this is the second time we've been there.
Mm-hmm.
The first time we went was right after they opened. The team that comes in from other stores to open a new store, which is very typical,
right?
Was... amazing. I mean, you could feel the energy. There was buzz. There were people all over the place, and they got the food out really fast, and it was a great experience.
Right.
All the way around.
Yes.
Today, we go in, and not as much buzz. You can see the energy's a little low, right? Definitely the opening team has gone home.
Yes.
And they're starting to lose their edge a little bit, which I guess happens. It was a little, it was just low energy today.
Right. Compared to the first time we walked in.
But no big deal, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So whatever. And our server was fantastic.
She did a great job, and we gave her a full tip.
She did a really, really good job. Here's what I ordered. A Caesar salad with a grilled chicken breast, no dressing.
That's right. Pretty simple.
It's that easy.
No dressing.
It's a bowl of romaine lettuce.
Right.
With a grilled chicken breast.
On top.
Maybe some Parmesan.
Maybe.
That's it.
And what came out was a fully dressed Caesar salad.
Yeah.
With what looked like blackened chicken on it, even though you were specific and didn't want the blackened chicken.
Right.
And you said you didn't want the little toasties that they put on it, and they brought those as well. So the kitchen plated this thing up in a hurry, thinking
it was
okay,
normal. Thinking it was a regular Caesar salad.
That's
order.
Exactly right. My salad turned out to come out exactly how I ordered it. Not to my liking, though, because it was spring mix, and I don't like spring mix. Right. And typically when it says mixed greens, they don't mean spring mix. They mean spring mix when they say spring mix, typically. But they brought me my salad, and, you know, we were playing Russian roulette because I ordered it without blue cheese, and I ordered it with my ranch on the side instead of tossed in like
That's
they
it.
Normally make it.
I want this salad, no blue cheese, ranch on the side.
Correct.
You're acting like it was complicated. These were really, really simple requests.
Mm-hmm.
So they forgot your ranch. I think
they forgot the my ranch, and they made your salad a fully dressed salad exactly the way it comes on the menu, which you can't eat because of your dietary restrictions.
Right. Right.
So
primarily the garlic allergy, which is why I don't get the little toasties either, because they always put garlic on.
That's right.
So whatever.
So the girl came out right away after we ordered and said, "Does everything look okay?" And your answer was, "Nope, it does not."
No.
And we'd already been in the building for about 25 minutes at this point,
at least.
Yes.
Yeah.
So
she was a little slow for salad delivery.
Right. The quickest possible thing they can make in the restaurant. 25 minutes.
But whatever. That was fine too. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I sent it back.
So, flash forward 37 minutes, because that's how long it took to get a plain bowl of lettuce with a chicken breast on it out of the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
And then they brought it to you.
To our server's credit,
She
kept checking in with us.
Mm-hmm.
She handled it beautifully. She kept going back to the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
She finally, I said to her, "Yeah, I don't know what's going on back there," because we're very nice when things go wrong.
That's right.
Because I believe there's no benefit to being ugly.
Right. Kindness is important to us.
Sure. So we were just talking about it with the server, and I said, "I don't know what's going on back there," and she said, "Well, when the startup team left, then they had a bunch of people in the kitchen walk out."
Right. And come to find out, that walkout was today.
This morning.
Six people called in and said, "We're never coming in.
Yeah.
We're done. We're out."
For the kitchen. Called out for the kitchen.
That's exactly right.
So I said, "Whoa, that's," you know, we talked with her a little bit, and because I wanted to be sympathetic toward her, I said, "Man, that really makes it hard on the servers, because you're the ones who are face to face with customers who are upset." And,
right.
And we're not upset. You know, it's a minor inconvenience, but that was, you know, 20 minutes into waiting for my salad. And then it was another 10 or 15 before I finally got it.
Yeah.
But at least they brought it in a dirty dish.
Let me say that again so that people understand that. The dish they brought it in had served a salad with their raspberry vinaigrette dressing. Because it had dressing all over it and had raspberry stain or strawberry vinaigrette, some pink berry stained on the plate and grease marks and everything. It's like they dumped out a salad to quickly throw yours in it. That's what it looked like to me.
Now, here's how desperate I was for food and how disgusting I am. Fine. Judge away. I said, "Forget it. I'm so hungry now," because at that point we'd been there an hour.
We were about to murder someone.
I was hungry before we left.
Yes.
I was like, I hit that. I do this fun thing where I go from, oh, maybe I'm a little hungry, to I can't function.
Well, let's start eating the passengers.
Pretty quickly.
In the plane crash.
And I was at I can't function when we left for lunch. So anyway, I'm starving, you know, or whatever. So I ate just the top center.
Mm-hmm.
Because I thought, well, it hasn't touched anything. Yes, I know.
That's exciting.
Disgusting. But
no, it's exciting is what it is.
Top center. And then, and I wasn't going to say anything else to her.
Right.
But she came and said, so was everything okay with this salad? And I said, other than being served in a dirty dish, it was great. And she was appropriately mortified.
Right. Well, when six people in the kitchen call out on the day that you go there for lunch, there are going to be problems in the kitchen.
And she said, oh, this is terrible. I need to get a manager so that we can get this taken off your
Which
bill.
Is the right thing to say.
So the manager came over, and I have some tips for her, but and said, hey, we're going to take that off your bill, which was fine. That's not what I was looking for. But what an epic fuck up. I mean,
yeah.
You just can't. Oh, my God. And that is the manager who said, you know, we had six people call
right.
out today
right.
from the kitchen. And I said, man, that's really tough. But why the dining room manager wasn't, I don't know. I think growing up in restaurants mm-hmm. ruined me.
I don't think it did. I think it made you uniquely qualified to comment on this.
Okay. When somebody calls out, the management team is who steps in
right.
to fill that spot.
That's exactly
so
right.
I get that you had six people call out, but I've been sitting here. I didn't say any of this to her, but this is what I was thinking. I've been sitting here for an hour watching you stand in the corner and survey your dining room, not interacting with customers.
Not in the kitchen expediting
not
food.
Not in the kitchen expediting food.
That's right.
Not checking in with the servers to see if there are any problems.
That's right.
Just standing in the corner watching the dining room. Okay, what the hell?
Well, if there's a first-person shooter, she's going to be the first to know. And that there's room for that. But
and on approaching our table,
right.
I would like if she had, and this is just a tip, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Introduced herself. Mm-hmm. Hey, I'm Londa. I'm the dining room manager, or whatever her title is, you know.
Right.
And I heard there was an issue with your meal. We're
right.
really sorry for that. And we're going to take care of your meal today.
Right.
And that would really have been all she needed to say. However, let me unwind the situation and back it up to inoculation, right? So you can vaccinate people against being angry. Because our server was telling us about how she was so grateful we were kind
right.
about the whole thing.
That's right.
And she said that's not what happened last night. Everybody was mad at her last night because they had the same kind of issue.
Mm-hmm.
But here's something. You can help manage people's expectations, as we've talked about many times.
That's exactly right.
By as soon as you get to the table and you greet your people and whatever, hey, I need to let you know we're short-staffed in the kitchen today. Drastically short-staffed.
Mm-hmm.
So we are doing the very best we can to give you the, you know, walk-on experience. Believe me, everybody's working hard. However, just in case we hit a few bumps in the road, I want to let you know that's probably why.
Okay. Yeah.
And
that's great.
And that kind of manages the expectation. It definitely, you know, vaccinates you against.
Yes.
You know, some problems later on. And so, but it was the best thing they did was give me the to-go cup with your iced tea in it.
There you go. And you'll enjoy that. I don't know why I don't like taking away drinks from a restaurant. I'm a weirdo that way. I just don't like it.
I love it. I paid for it and I uh-huh. got to take it with me.
Mm-hmm.
It's very exciting.
That is exciting.
It's so stupid, but it is. So I would say for today's experience, I'd have to give walk-ons, you know, a kind of a negative 2 out of 10 for a lot of it. And I'd give our server an 8 out of 10.
Okay. Okay. So about a 4 out of 10 if you average it.
Overall.
Yeah. 4 out of 10.
Really not a good experience.
Yeah. You know, and I wish it was better because I'm cheering for them. I love their product. I love their
But you concept. Said, we got in the car, we started driving, and you said, well, I've had all the walk-ons I ever need.
Well, and I said that for a reason, and that is in the current food ways that we're exploring to make inflammation go down in our bodies, we can't really have the food I love there. So why go and have a mediocre experience? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't have fried, cheesy, Louisiana tinged food because it doesn't work with the...
doesn't work with your body right now.
Autoimmune protocol diet that we're doing right now.
Yeah. So, and that, thank you for opening that can of worms and exposing it to the world.
Well, there's no problem. I've talked fully transparent.
I've talked about my autoimmune issues before. Right. I'm in a really bad flare-up, so I'm on this AIP diet, whatever.
Right, and I got to tell you.
It gets it back in line really quickly, and I do it until I'm no longer symptomatic anyway.
And so, I don't really miss the stuff.
Side note for...
I don't really miss the stuff.
The 8 people that listen to this.
And here's the deal. I only want 3 different things to eat. So if you ever ask me what I want a bacon cheeseburger. Mm. I want Outback cheese fries with ranch dressing. And I want pizza. Yeah. And those are the 3 things I want. So if you ask me what I want, don't be surprised when my answer is bacon cheeseburger.
No, I don't
Outback
ask
Outback cheese
anymore.
Fries
I've
and
learned.
Pizza.
I've
so
learned.
As we've agreed, you can be in charge of the meals and don't tell me what we're having. Just plate it up and I'll eat it. And I don't miss
there you go.
Having the bad
so
for me stuff
I think,
at all.
I think that when you don't go out very often to eat,
right.
which we haven't been,
right?
When I do go out, I want it to be good.
Yeah, well.
When you go all the time, you kind of get used to the mediocre
right.
or poor service. But, right. you know, anyway, so so then we had to pop into Best Buy
Let me tell you something. We're experimenting here on the program because we're also putting the podcast on YouTube. And I'm watching a lot in my downtime, a lot of videos about how to make more effective YouTube presentations. Mm-hmm. And one of the things they talk about is multiple camera angles. So today we have 2 camera angles. We have the main camera angle that I normally look at, and we have another camera angle, which is really just on Londa, and you might be able to see my hand
and
in
we
the
may
shot.
Or may not use
well we will footage. Use in what I just said we will toggle between the two for sure.
Oh, that's fun. I didn't
on
know
the
you
YouTube thing
okay.
because I just explained that we had the 2 different cameras
and
so
I don't
now
understand
I'm,
how any of that works
well right
and I'm happy to never understand it
and you don't have to understand it because with my
don't worry my pretty little head
with my communication background and my college classes in video
fancy.
Editing, I think I can do this. It's all different now. None of it's the same.
Right.
But I've been watching my tutorials. So, there you go.
This is what I would like.
Yes.
I would like some restaurateurs
yes.
to reach out to me mm-hmm. and explain to me why it's so hard for restaurants to get it right.
Well, I can tell you one guy who would love to talk to you about it, and that's JD from Fat Olives in Richland, Washington.
Mm-hmm.
JD knows why people don't get it right, and I know why he gets it right most of the time. And the reason is because he's involved. He's there.
He's on site all
he's
the time.
He's not standing in the corner either surveying the room.
Right.
He is expediting food. He is going to tables. He's getting drinks. He's seating people. He's actively
That's how
engaged.
My dad did it too.
And that's the way you have to do it to be successful.
And
I
that's
think.
What my dad always said. My dad had 2 restaurants in Southern California. And he always said to have a successful restaurant, mm-hmm. the owner has to be on site as basically the manager. Even if you have a manager, you've got right. to be in there every day. And then it was hard for him when they expanded, went from 1 to 2.
Right.
Because now,
how
do
you split your time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway,
that's tough.
Yeah. So, but I can't figure out why it's so inconsistent, why people just can't get it right. Is it the lack of systems? Is it the lack of direction? Is it turnover with employees? Is it the training? I
would submit it's all that. And that's why I enjoy going to chain restaurants, because they are consistent, because they have training programs that are consistent and the same in every single restaurant. You know, Walk-On's is a chain now, but they're kind of a new chain. They're expanding at a very quick pace right now.
That's true.
After having a couple restaurants, starting in Baton Rouge, going to New Orleans, going to Lafayette.
Sometimes you're trying to grow up too fast.
Well, they had a major infusion of cash when Drew Brees became an investor.
Right.
So they are for sure growing at a fast pace.
Right.
And not a ton of restaurants over the years have been dramatically successful in that quick growth. There are tons of bumps in the road when you have quick growth.
Yeah.
Even McDonald's, which started with a great concept and really well-engineered positions in the kitchen at McDonald's. If you've seen the movie The Founder, it talks all about it. They had growing pains going from a restaurant in Southern California to nationwide. You know, they had they had franchisees that were selling things that are not on the McDonald's menu, you know, until Kroc took over and said, hey, we're not doing that. I'm buying it from the McDonald's brothers,
and I'm streamlining the deal
Getting back to basics,
right?
And you know, it's always tough to grow super fast.
I'd say that's very true in any industry.
It's super easy to grow organically over time. Start with a restaurant, grow, perfect it, maybe do a second one. There'll be a few bumps in the road, right? But you know what? If you have the same staff transferring to the other restaurant and that's how you grow, easier.
Right.
Then you add a third. That's a program that we've seen, and it usually does not work that way either. And the reason it doesn't work that way is because people then run out of money and they shut down. So I don't know what the right answer is, but I enjoy chains because by the time they're a nationwide chain, it's dialed in. They know their product.
And I hate chains.
I know you do.
I like independently owned places, but finding independently owned local, you know, restaurants that are really, really good.
Right. Is hard to do.
A challenge.
And you need to have an on-site owner if it is that kind of place.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the printer. I heard something strange. It sounded like a rocket ship was taking off. It's the printer.
Yeah.
Anyway, long story short, I don't know what the easy answer is.
Right.
But good customer service is something you can achieve in any situation.
Yeah, and I think we were talking about how a lot of it is achieved through scripting.
Right. That's exactly right.
Let's go to Best Buy, where you know, you had an interesting customer service experience.
Well, okay. Let me set the stage for you. We go to Best Buy, and picture this, if you will. We walk into Best Buy.
Oh God!
There are four people in the store with blue shirts on. Four that I can see from when I walked in the door.
Okay.
One is at the cash register. One is over in cell phones. There's another over in computers. And then there's this lady who's kind of floating around the store, right?
Okay.
We're going there for very specific things. We are trying to find a camera so we can have a third camera, not just the two cell phones that we have.
Right.
Because ultimately we want a live stream and we want the show to be interesting.
Right, right. I mean, we're taking it big time.
Yeah, right.
Whether anybody comes along or not.
Yeah.
That's where we're going.
There you go. Because nobody asked for it.
I know, but we're having so much fun. We're having such a good time. Who cares?
Well, and you know what? I post on Facebook and I get a new loan. So it works. You know, I posted our hurricane party picture last night and got a refinance out of it. It was the coolest thing ever.
I know. I love that.
So we're in Best Buy. We see the four employees who are on the floor. There was a fifth guy out front holding a TV. I think somebody was going to drive up with a vehicle and he was going to put the TV in the back. But that's what the store looks like when we walk in. We walk right over to cameras, and the one lady who was not actively working with someone, actually came into our aisle, kind of moved Londa out of the way and starts shopping for a customer who might have called in over the phone, I'm guessing.
Well,
she starts looking at stuff there in front of us and is clearly agitated that we're in her way, even though we're real life paying customers in the store right now.
This makes me crazy.
It makes me want to set something on fire.
The person in front of you is the most important person.
And literally in front of her, because she wanted to move you aside to get to the place where you were looking. That is crazy to me. That'll always set my hair on fire.
I always was taught the person in front of you is real money.
Yes.
The person on the phone or the online order or the whatever that's not in front of you is potential money.
Right, that's right. Real money wins. Now, no one else came over to see us except for the lady who pushed you out of the way. I'm looking around for help because I want to spend a lot of money on a camera. Not a person looks my way. Finally, I see the lady who pushed you out of the way to get to the shelving area that you were looking through.
She didn't really push me out of
the way. It was pretty close. Move! Anyway, I see her and I make eye contact and I'm like, hey. I need some help. And she looked at me, acknowledged me, turned away, and kept going wherever she was going.
Right.
And there were no customers where she was going. I think she was going to the back to work on whatever that...
What is that?
I don't understand it.
Why is it going on? Can someone explain to me why that's happening? Well, I don't... Is there no value in a high level of work ethic? Is there no value in... customer service, is there no, does the individual not placing value on their worth in their job? I don't.
I think the big box stores are competing with Amazon, and so they're trying to change their mindset.
Well, I literally said I wouldn't even be buying this here today if I didn't want to use it today. I would get it on Amazon.
That's exactly right. But whatever the case, that was the experience I had at Best Buy and have decided that if I buy a $1,200 Canon camera that they recommend on one of the YouTube videos I watch, I'm going to buy it from someone other than Best Buy.
So,
and I'm a long-time Best Buy customer.
So here's what I hear often from people who work in, you know, those kind of retail positions is, okay, go ahead.
Right.
I don't care. I get paid whether you're here or not. But here's what they're not seeing. They're short-sighted. If enough people start buying from Amazon instead of their store, then their store goes away and so does their job.
And here's the thing that's sad about what I'm saying about the Best Buy on U.S. Highway 98 in Lakeland, Florida. I've already spent $10,000 in that store. And now I don't want to spend another penny in that store. Isn't that sad?
Yeah.
And if you don't believe it can happen to you, Best Buy employees, tell me where the nearest Circuit City is. They're gone.
Oh, that's true. I mean, that's true.
You know, it's just out of control.
Or is it innovation that all of this is going to go to Amazon and then Amazon warehouses will just be everywhere and we'll get our stuff delivered?
Well, I think that is ultimately where we're going. And now that Jeff Bezos has announced he's stepping down as CEO so he can focus on going to space.
Yeah.
I'm interested to know what's going to happen with Amazon.
What is it like to have enough money that you can leave your company and focus on going to the moon for fun?
Well, or space,
or
whatever. I mean, he's going to space for fun.
He and Richard Branson they're in a dead heat. They're neck and neck getting to space.
That's right. And Richard Branson is leaving on the 11th because Jeff Bezos is going sometime after
on the 20th or something. Yeah. I don't know. They're racing. Now, to be fair, Richard Branson said that didn't play into his decision.
And I'm sure it didn't.
Well, I don't know.
You know, just like the moon landing didn't play into the space race decision. Of course it did. He absolutely wants to be up there quicker.
Yeah.
And Elon Musk, hasn't he already successfully sent people into space with SpaceX? Absolutely he has. So the three guys that are fighting in this space, literally over space.
I think it's kind of fun that people have gotten to the point that they personally have enough money mm-hmm. that they're giving NASA a run for their money.
Oh, no, no, no. NASA's renting space from SpaceX. NASA is leaning into that heavily. Because why wouldn't privatized space exploration make sense if NASA sure. doesn't have to foot the bill?
Sure.
We went to the Kennedy Space Center not that long ago, and
yeah.
you can see the blue, space blue or whatever Jeff Bezos' thing is right there.
Oh, yeah. It's like right across the street.
That's exactly right.
That's true.
It's, you know, so they're clearly working together. And I think that kind of thing is spectacular for the world because, let me tell you something, the space plane that Richard Branson is about to fly into space, one of the coolest things I've ever seen. It's not a rocket, and it's not the space shuttle. Really cool, though. Really cool. And he envisioned the design when he was a child.
Right.
And that's what he said when we watched him on whatever program, maybe the Today Show,
right?
Interviewed him about this thing. I think it's really cool. So innovation can be led by the private sector, not by government. And it's just like watching what Russia and the United States were doing in the 60s to get into space.
Right.
It's just like it, except it's three billionaires doing it.
Yeah.
Instead of three exciting. Countries.
And now that we're way out in the weeds, how are we going to bring this back?
Well, we're not super out in the weeds because it's all about customer service. And let me tell you something. We're talking about space tourism. It's $250,000 a pop to fly with Richard Branson into space. And people are signing up like crazy.
They are. I'm not interested in that, but good for them.
Yes, and I'm glad that none of the celebrities are going to be on the first flight on the 11th. Lady Gaga's one of them. It's not time to say goodbye to Lady Gaga yet.
Gaga, Bieber.
And some people might say that tragedy with Bieber would be different. I'm not saying that.
Stop
but some
now.
People would. I've got Bieber fever, so I'm not one of those people. You know?
Mm-hmm.
I've been to the Justin Bieber movies with my daughter, Caitlin, and son, Benjamin. So I'm a Belieber.
That's exciting. That's so exciting. One thing we were talking about earlier is the investment that you make when you have a business or when you work for a business, what
That's
kind
right.
of investments you make into your own thing. And we were talking about this when you go to work at a restaurant, they oftentimes give you a uniform, but you've got to go buy shoes.
Non-skid
right?
shoes that are appropriate for the kitchen. Yeah.
And then there's time outside of the restaurant, typically, that you've got to learn the menu. You've got to memorize things. You've got to, you know, all that. So so the investment is a lot of time that goes into that.
And everybody makes you buy your own shoes, right? I don't know.
I think so. I don't know.
I don't know of a restaurant that said, you know what? We're getting you some fancy shoes for the kitchen. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
You always have to come with non-skid soled shoes.
Right.
And typically they're black or whatever color scheme fits the restaurant.
I've heard from a lot of different people that what you do in your free time can often determine your success.
That's true.
Right?
Yeah.
And so just thinking about that and thinking about what is Richard Branson do in his free time and his downtime? You know what I mean? And so I'm thinking like, every entrepreneur I know is, and business owner, is typically working at getting better, learning more about their craft in their free time.
When I was a broadcaster, I spent almost all of my free time consuming broadcast media.
Right.
Because I wanted to be the best at what I did. So I watched people that I thought were really, really good and borrowed a little bit from it.
Yeah.
It's interesting that my on-air things that I borrowed were more from on-air personalities, though, than actual news people. Because I think, and maybe I'm wrong, I was the news director for the Louisiana News Network for several years. I was the news director for a few radio stations, several radio stations, actually. So I have a little history with this. I believe delivery is as important as content. And I believe if your content is well delivered, you'll have more listeners, right? So I wanted to listen to personalities to be able to see why they were so famous.
Right.
Right.
I gotcha.
Guys like Rush Limbaugh, guys like Tom Likas. I really like Tom Likas, by the way. And a lot of my on-air presentation kind of morphed because of Tom Likas being on our radio station in Lafayette, Louisiana when I was a kid. News Radio KPEL, we brought him on. He was very controversial. We got a new program director named Michael W.K., and he was a Tom Likas fan. So he goes, hey, guys, look, we're bringing in Tom Likas. I like him. We got more complaints on our conservative talk radio station about this libertarian from Seattle than any other show I ever heard, but he had delivery that was interesting and exciting, and that was really sexy to me as a broadcaster.
Right.
I wanted to have that.
Well, I think that's part of sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a whole.
Yep.
And we've talked about your presentation.
It's all performance.
It kind of is. Mm-hmm. And I remember even parenting, you know, I used to go around and do a lot of speaking gigs to parenting communities, you know, and one of the things I would say is great parenting is just half of it is just great acting.
Okay.
And it was really just about making an exciting presentation.
Right.
You know, if you're trying to, you know, get your child to try something new, you got to be excited about it.
Yeah, you can't be
like,
try
to get them excited about it, right? That kind of thing. And I think you're kind of talking about the same thing.
That's exactly right. Presentation is critical.
Yeah.
And I've gotten in trouble in churches in the past because I have done a lot of music in churches growing up. And I've always said, hey, listen, Sunday needs to be a performance. So we need to rehearse and it needs to be dialed
right.
in.
Right. In certain churches, that's like, oh, we're not performing.
Well, I...
You perform for an audience of one.
I actually got that sermon one Sunday after I talked about...
If you've been in church on the stage.
And if you haven't done a run-through with the guy running the projector in the back and the lyrics are not matching up,
yeah.
That's terribly embarrassing.
Yeah.
So it does need to be a production, right? And there are... Actually, on YouTube, there are all kinds of programs about production for churches.
Right.
So
yeah.
It's a real thing.
Presentation
matters.
And when you're excited about what you do and
that's
you're
right.
excited about the person across from you, it mm-hmm. comes through. And when you're not, that comes through too.
That's
when you
exactly
hate
right.
your job or you hate, go do something else. Jeez.
Well, it's just like when you don't get along with your broadcast partner. It shows.
Oh, right. The chemistry.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
People say that we have great chemistry on screen together and on the radio together. It's because we have great chemistry.
Oh,
it's
yeah,
not
yeah.
because we're great broadcasters. We have great chemistry. We're married. We are interested in one another. Mm. We like one another. I am not Beats to you. Does that make sense? I don't represent the flavor of Beats, which to me is the worst thing I've ever tasted.
Beets.
So I couldn't get our kids to eat Beets if I had to, because I would be the guy who's not a strong enough actor
right.
to be excited about Beets.
Right.
If you said to me, hey, David, okay, Ada's thinking about making something for dinner when we're in town, and
it's borscht.
We need to convince her to do Beets, so I'm going to need you to have that conversation with her because it's part of our new diet, which it's not. That is a ridiculous thing, but I couldn't do it.
Right.
I would fail that test.
Yeah. But it's all connected, right?
Mm-hmm.
If you can't be excited about what you're doing, and I know we go through it's peaks and valleys, right?
Yes.
There's going to be times when I'm not super excited to do what I'm doing, but you keep your feet to the fire and you just kind of, you know, all those metaphors, you get one
right.
foot in front of the other until you get out of your funk.
One day at a time.
Right, right, right.
Step by step.
But good Lord, if you're having more of those days and moments than you are being excited about what you're doing,
it's
get
time to
out.
Go. That's
I mean,
exactly right.
And I think that's something, okay, this is something that, you know, people have asked us about. What made you make all the moves that we've made in the last year and a half? Because
mm-hmm.
we made some pretty drastic moves,
mm-hmm.
right? We
yep.
kind of on a whim decided to get married.
Yep. I knew the minute that...
Stop.
I knew the minute that you said to me, I've been doing some soul searching and I've been thinking and I realize I'm in love with you. I knew I was going to spend the rest of my life with you at that moment. I did.
Well, and from that moment to when we got married was 3 weeks.
That's exactly
so
right.
So exactly. We kind of on it and we weren't dating.
Right.
So, you know, it was okay. So that happened. I had a shift in my career.
Right.
Right after that, we decided to get a vacation home, which mm-hmm. is now we spend more time at the vacation home than we do Washington. Right. We're in Florida more than Washington.
Right.
We had there've just been a lot. We decided to do this.
We opened a consulting firm in Florida and are now doing a podcast, which is the most fun thing.
Yeah.
I think we could be doing.
We invested in a salon in the Tri-Cities.
That's right.
Like we've done all these things that seem really crazy
while maintaining our businesses in the Tri-Cities.
Right.
I want to point out.
Yes. Yeah. You're still an active lender in the Tri-Cities.
I just got a text from a customer
I'm
just
still
now.
An active realtor in the Tri-Cities. But people have asked, like, how?
Yeah.
How did you do that? Well, the how is all in this. We both know we're not stuck.
Right. That's exactly right.
We can do whatever we want to do.
That's right.
How did we get to that point? Well, hell, I don't know. It's just, I think...
Years of success in business has given us the confidence to be able to make moves that otherwise we wouldn't be able to make. I think that's the truth.
Well, yeah. And for me, once I kind of, you know, blew up my whole life about 3 years ago, and it was like a breaking out of everything I knew.
Mm-hmm.
And from that moment forward, I can do whatever I want to do.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And you can.
Just do it. People say, I wish I could do that. I wish I could live in two places.
And you could.
Yeah, can.
That's right. All you need is will, determination,
yeah.
and the money to do it. You need finances to be able to do it.
Figure out how to make it happen. And I think that's what people don't do. They say, I can't do it. And then they don't, instead of, how can I make that happen?
Right. But that's the key. And you
right.
and I, before we even entertained buying a vacation home, knew what our number needed to be able to do that.
Yeah. I said, I need this much. We need this much money in the bank before we do it. And we did.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, you know, we set a goal. We met the goal pretty quickly.
Yeah.
And then did it. And so when we were able to do it, we had enough of a safety net. So just imagine my business falling apart. Had
right.
that happened... It didn't, but had that happened,
right.
we would have been okay because we had the money in the bank. You know
right.
what I mean?
Right.
So it's really exciting that we have strong enough relationships with our business partners back mm-hmm. home to be able to do something different and make it work.
Right.
And I got to tell you, if we didn't have those relationships, we wouldn't have been able to do it. So the moral of the story is, if you build your life the way you want it to look, why not make it look that way?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Start asking, how do I make that happen?
That's exactly right. And if
I've always wanted to fill in the blank.
Right.
And for me, it's what do I need to do before I die? I use mortality motivation a lot.
And that is part of why we got married, because you got me thinking about that, asking me those questions.
Okay. Yeah, that was...
If you were going to die in 3 years and you knew it, what would you do differently?
Yeah.
Well, that question right now, if you ask me, I'd do nothing differently.
Right.
And that's because I'm living that right now.
Right.
And I can't...
And I do have a few things I would do.
I can't tell you what I'm missing. What I'm working on now is helping to facilitate your dreams.
Right.
And that's okay. That's important to me. And that's pretty cool. And it's because you got me thinking about that 2 years ago when we were just friends hiking on the side of Badger Mountain.
Yeah, and I would think of like conversation starters
mm-hmm.
So that we could talk while we were hiking. And that was one. I had just heard it in mm-hmm. a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
And so I... asked you, if you knew you only had 3 years to live, what would you do differently with your life? And I want to say that to our listeners. Ask yourself that question.
Okay.
and use it as motivation. Okay, then how do I make that happen?
And if what you want to happen is you want to be the best at what you do, then start doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. If what your thing that you want to do is, one thing you've said is you want to do public speaking engagements. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
We opened a consulting firm so that you can do that.
Right.
And that's exciting, yeah. Right? That's exciting.
Yep.
Whatever you want to do, I say do it. Unless what you want to do is have a Caesar salad with no dressing at Walk-Ons today in Lakeland, Florida.
It's not going to work out for you. Let me just, I just want to say, public speaking, I've done keynotes in the past. I would love to do more. Yes, I'm available for that booking, and I want to put that out there. And some might say, well, what would you talk about? Right?
Yes. What would you talk about?
Well, there are several things I could talk about, but yes. Really the meat and potatoes of every time I've ever spoken in the past and probably in the future, kind of the thread through everything I ever say is it's very motivating. It's very inspiring because I talk a lot about overcoming.
Right.
Right. How to be in the trenches and put one foot in front of the other until you can see daylight.
That's good.
So that's really chasing your dreams and being relentless in the pursuit of those dreams.
And I can tell you this, both of us know exactly how to start over in life because we've both had to do it in the last 5 years.
Yeah.
I did mine 5 years ago. You did yours 3 years ago.
Yeah.
And we literally started over. And right. I got to tell you, I had great support along the way. I had great support from my children. I had great support from my former employer at Guild Mortgage, Charles Ney, wonderful supporter. Mm-hmm. As I was going through my divorce and crushingly depressed, that guy stood by me and helped me through it. Mm-hmm. When my friends rallied around me and said, okay, we're all doing this together at Envoy. You need to give your notice at Guild.
Yeah.
Guild offered to let us go there.
Right.
I mean, what a good deal.
Yeah.
I've been very lucky that my relationships have sustained me.
Mm-hmm.
And you've done similar things. So we can both effectively communicate about how to get through the tough times in your life.
Yeah. And the fun part is that if we're, you know, talking with someone about inspiring them to pursue their dreams and their dream has something to do with business, then we can come on that in too and coach
exactly
them
right.
into it and through it. Hey, we're the full package over here.
If somebody wants to book a keynote address with you, how do they do that?
So the best way, there's two ways. They can reach out by phone, and my phone number is 509-491-2663.
So 509-491-2663.
That's the number.
509-491-2663.
Yeah.
For Londa Sherwood Austin.
Or they can email me, londa@sherwoodaustin.com.
londa@sherwoodaustin.com. No dashes.
No dashes.
londa@sherwoodaustin.com.
The business name has no dashes. My legal name has a hyphen.
That's good. I thought that was very good. Your joke, your legal name has a hyphen.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I thought it was great. I got no response, though. You looked at me with dead eyes when I said that.
I'm sorry. Oh, my gosh. Mean.
I didn't know where to go. I kind of panicked. You
sorry
know?
About that.
That's okay. I'm not upset about it at all.
I was already, like, checked out. Sorry, I'm back. Hello.
I hit the music and you're done.
I kind of, yeah. My apologies.
Thank you for staying with us during this fun episode of The Session with Londa and David. For Londa Sherwood Austin, my name is David Austin, and we'll talk to you soon.